At home, we pray that you're having a good night and that you just keep everyone safe. Pray for everyone's safety as we travel home later and as the weather comes in. And remember our pastor, he's gone. Brother Danny said he may be really sick later tonight. So I thank his team and the Wildcat. He may get a little blue later on. So. We'll just keep him in your prayers, him and Miss Diane, as they're traveling and as they're in Texas right now. And just that they have a safe travel back and everything goes good for them. And just remember our church as we continue to serve and to fellowship with one another, that we'll always do what God would have us to do. But tonight we're going to be mainly in the book of Psalms, Psalms 139. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn there with me. And then we'll pray before we begin. Okay, let's pray. Dear Lord, I want to thank you so much, God, for all that you do, for loving me and allowing me to serve as a fill-in tonight, God. Just speak your words, Lord, tonight. Help us, God, that we may glorify you by what we do and say, and that we'll always cherish our relationship with you. A God that is beyond comprehension, but yet lives in our hearts. We thank you for this night. Thank you for your word, and pray for all of your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're going to talk tonight. I've entitled the message, Know God, Show God. And I'm not saying that we're on a long flight tonight, because I don't know how long it'll be. It may be just one of them little commuter flights, but we're going to get off and running and land here in a little while. But I want to read this. David is the one that wrote this Psalm 139. And it's a reflection of what he learned about our God. And I just want to read through the first 14 verses. So if you'll bear with me as we read this together. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning, and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. So David was sharing with us some very important things about God, just some exciting things to know about God. But we're going to look here at some of these verses again. But I want to share with you three different aspects of what we should know about God. And the first one, and if you keep notes, you can write this down. God is omniscient, that is, all-knowing. And we find out here in the first few verses, in verse 1 through 6, it says, he knows us when we get up, when we sit down, when we're lying down. He knows what we're going to say. He's before and behind us, and he has so much knowledge that we can't comprehend it. You know, that's kind of scary. How many of y'all ever have secrets? Anybody ever have secrets, keep secrets? Okay, only me, a few of you. You know, it happens. We all keep secrets from one another sometimes. On purpose, to surprise somebody, could be one of those things. But we all sin. We all mess up. We all do bad things. And those things, we don't like to be enlightened to other people a lot of times when we mess up. Does anybody like to mess up? Nobody likes to mess up. And we hate it when we're reminded that we mess up sometimes, because we like to hide our flaws. We like to cover our flaws up sometimes. But the scary part when we come to know God is that He knows everything about us. There's nothing that He doesn't know. He's all-knowing. And you look back to the fact that He should know us because He made us. Knowing every bit of us helps us to understand why He can help us in any problem that we have. Because you don't go to a dentist to fix your heart. You go to a dentist to fix your teeth. And hopefully if you have a heart problem, you go to a heart doctor or so on. But we go to someone when we're in need, we're in need for help. We go to someone that's experienced in what we need. And we find out through David, through the scriptures here, that He can handle any problem we have. He knows everything about us. He's experienced in what we go through. There's another scripture, and you don't have to turn to it, but Psalms 147:5 says this: "How great is our Lord! His power is absolute. His understanding is beyond comprehension." He's fully aware of everything, even things that we may not remember. We could say something and forget, but God doesn't forget. God remembers all. God knows all. And He knows everything that's happened to you from your birth till now. And He knows what's going to happen to you later on. He knows all about us. So we find out here David has related to this, that he realizes that God knows him. That God, there's nowhere he can go that God doesn't know him. And there's nowhere he can hide that God will not be there. We find out in verses 7 through 10, let's read those real quick again. "Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there thy hand shall lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me." So we find out not only does God know all, but God is all present. He's omnipresent. He's all present. We can't escape Him. I know we've all played, how many of y'all played hide and seek before? Sometimes I was always a big guy, so I never won at that game. I never could hide very good. Even at camp, we had a little retreat one time, and we were supposed to play, they call it counselor hunt, is what they call it. And all the kids would try to find the counselors. Well, I just hid in a corner, sat in a chair and hid in a corner. I didn't hide very good. I think I was the first one that they found. But it was okay. I still had fun with the kids. But sometimes you're good at hiding. Sometimes we like to hide what's going on in our lives. Sometimes we'll put up a front to hide the pain in our lives. But you know, God knows if you're happy. He knows if you're sad. And He made some special promises to us that He would always be with us. And David's experienced this. He's going through this psalm. This was actually a song that they would do to worship Him. The psalm is broke down into different books, and Psalm 139 is one of the worship and praise scriptures that would have been used as a song back in those days. They would have put music to it and sang this song. But knowing that God is everywhere, that we don't have to look for God, He's right there. And He knows where we're at. He knows what you're going through. You know, when we think about hard times, we think, well, no one will understand what I'm going through. No one can relate to me. No one is there for me. But that's not true. We find out that God is always there. That we can't go, we could go as far north as we want, east, west, south, Texas. We go wherever, but God is there. God doesn't leave us. God is always there. And if you're wanting to find God, you can find God. But a lot of times people don't look for God. A lot of times people make excuses, but it's hard to deny the fact that God is all around us. You know, we learn that in, if you've ever done the Bible study, Experiencing God, that's one of the things that they talk about is that God is always around, us. He's always at work around us. And He's there for each of us. He knows us. He knows what we need. He's there for us to let us know that He is someone we can count on. He's someone that we can trust to be there for us. And it's to the point where David says this. He says, this is too wonderful for me to grasp this, is that I got somebody in my life that I can count on anytime, anywhere, any place. Amen? God is there anytime, anywhere, any place because He loves us, because He knows us, because He knows that we need Him, whether we realize that or not. God is there for us. God wants to be there for us in all things. There's another scripture here, a promise before David wrote. God promised this in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8 says, and the Lord, He it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. You know, God even made the promise. Jesus made the promise, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And for David to say this in Psalms, and then Jesus to respond to how God is in His Him being God, he reminds us that, hey, I made the promise a long time ago, and I'm keeping that promise. I'm here today because I told you I was here for you. And He came to save us from our sins. So we find out that David realizes that God knows everything, that there's nowhere you can go that He's not there, that He's there for you anytime you need Him. And then he also relates this to us. Let's read Psalms 139, verses 13 and 14. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. So David relates this, that God knows him. God's there for him, but God also made him. God is the one that's in control of David's life. And we find out here that not only is He all-knowing, not only is He all-present, but He's all-powerful or omnipotent. Ephesians 3:20 says this, now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power, that is at work within us. Anything we could think of, God could do. There's nothing that He can't do. So this is pretty good stuff to remember is that, okay, so this God that wants to be in my life, this God that tells me that He loves me and wants to help me, wants to save me from my sins, this is a God that knows everything. He's everywhere I'm going to go, and He can handle any situation because He has the power to do it. Is that not a friend you would want? Someone that knows all that you need to know, that is there anytime you need them, and has the power to help you in any situation? What a great God. What a great God we have, that He has all these characteristics. And the sad thing is that we don't always realize that. We don't always remember that. Is that God is there. We can't hide anything from Him. He knows we sin. We can't hide that from Him. All we can do is confess it to Him and ask for forgiveness. He knows that we have hard times. And those are times where we can lean on Him, or He'll carry us through. And He knows that we can't do it on our own. But we can with His help. There's some other scriptures here that relate to God's power. One of them is Jeremiah 32:27. And it says this: I am the Lord, the God of all the peoples of the world. Is anything too hard for me? He's all powerful. He's able to do all. There's no limits to what our God can do. Colossians 1, verse 15 through 17 says this: Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through Him God created everything, in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see. God is an awesome God. David relates back to, not only did He make all this other stuff, but He made it personal. He said, He made me. He put me together in my mother's womb. He took the time to make each of us the way that He wanted us to be. What a loving God we have. Every part that we have, God made, and He made us for a specific reason. No one should be put down for how they are or for what they look like, because they were made exactly how God wanted them to be. God is an awesome God. He's a great God. So we find out here David has told us how we can know God. We can know that He knows everything, that He's everywhere we go, and that He has the power to help us in any situation. David goes on in the Psalms, in Psalms 139, as he's related to how this is the God we have. This is the God who wants to be in our life, who wants that relationship with each of us. He doesn't force Himself on you, but He invites you to be in a relationship with Him, and all you have to do is ask. It's just a simple, Lord, be in my life, forgive me, and help me. And that's what David said He's all about. He knows us, He wants to help us, He's there for us, and He has the power to do it. Someone that knows everything about me, and He still loves me and wants to be part of my life, that's someone that I would want to be close to. What about you? Someone that cares for me like that. And David goes on, though. He wants God to be in his life. So he goes on through the scriptures. And I'm just going to paraphrase. You guys can read the rest of Psalms 139. But he goes on saying, God, I know You have this power. Straighten this world out. Take care of these evil people that's out there. Get rid of them. Make this world better. But then he comes back. But wait a minute, God. Start with me. Start with me, God. If there's anything in my life, make it right. Make me the person You want me to be. I got to share that. I think that's worth talking about. He ends the psalm this way: Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So he's talked about God and these three aspects of God: that He's all-knowing, He's all-present, He's all-powerful. He says, God, make this world better. This is Your world. You're in control. Make it better. But then he brings it back home and he says, but start with me. Make me better. Make me the person you want me to be. So knowing God, now, you're not truly going to know God, everything there is to know about God from this lesson tonight. I'm sorry. I don't have all that wisdom to just download to you. But it can start tonight. You can start to learn more about God by letting Him in your life, by reading His Word, walking with Him, and learning from personal experience how these things relate to your life. Now, David, we've talked about knowing God, but my sermon was title was Know God, Show God, right? So we've talked a little bit about knowing God. Let's talk about how we can show God. And we're going to stay with David. I'm not going to go to the scripture, but it's a very familiar story about David. And it's 1 Samuel 17, if you guys want to read it later on. But it's a very familiar story. Of course, where I work with kids, I love the kids' stories, and this is a kid's story. But it's not just a kid's story. It's a story for everybody. But we find out to show God, we have to give our attention to God first. And there's some scriptures. Of course, the teens use the scripture, Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. The story in 1 Samuel is about this little shepherd boy. What was his name? David. And David's out tending his sheep, or his father's sheep. His sheep too, but he's taking care of the sheep for his dad. His brothers are in this great army, this Israelite army. And they're in battle against the Philistines. So David's dad tells him, come take some food to your brothers and check on them, make sure they're okay. So he goes to the battlefield. And what's been happening in the battle is that you have one side, you have the two forces facing. They're facing each other. And there's a valley in between. So you have the Israelites on one side, the Philistines on another. And they've just been kind of staring each other down. And then this big guy, this champion of the Philistines, what was his name? Goliath. So you got Goliath coming out, and he's boasting and he's bragging. He says, bring me somebody to fight. You guys aren't worth anything. But I will let you bring someone to fight me. And if they beat me, then we'll be your servants. But if we beat you, you'll be our servants. And this kept going on a long time. And the reason it kept going on was because this guy, now I know it says so many cubits, it basically meant he was 9 feet, 9 inches, almost 10 feet tall. Big guy, right? Big guy. And he was as broad as he was tall. And it talked about his strength where he had so much armor that it would probably took a group of soldiers to carry it all if he took it off. But it talked about how big this guy was and how he was the champion. And he kept bragging about it, kept wanting to fight him. And everybody, the reason it kept going on is because everybody was afraid. Even King Saul, the leader of the Israelite army at the time, he was afraid of this giant. So we get this shepherd boy comes to visit his brothers and brings him some food. And his ear catches somebody taunting these Israelites. And he says, who does this guy think he is? Does he not realize this is the army of the living God? Does he not know that we have God on our side? Is this guy stupid? What is wrong with him? And everybody was still afraid. And so David says, well, what will be done for whoever kills this guy? And he goes on to list some things that would happen. They would be wealthy. I think they would be married to one of the king's daughters and different stuff. But that wasn't what David's focus was on. It wasn't what he was going to get out of it so much, but it was the fact that somebody dared challenge his God. We find out in 1 Samuel, I'm going to read a couple of scriptures from it, but we find out here, he didn't focus on Goliath like everybody else. He focused on God. In verse 26 of 1 Samuel chapter 17, David asked the soldier standing nearby, what will a man get for killing this Philistine and ending his defiance of Israel? Who is this pagan Philistine anyway that he is allowed to defy the armies of the living God? So his focus was on the living God and not on this soldier that thought he was something. When we put our attention on God, no matter how big our problem might be, people are going to see God working in that if we're focused on God to start with, don't you think? If we put our faith and trust and our attention on God, we seek Him. He made the promise that when we seek Him, He's there for us. He'll help us. He'll meet the need in our life. So David heard this challenge, and he's like, I don't get this. I'm focused on God, and I don't know who this person thinks he is. He obviously doesn't know my God. So the first way to show God is through our attention to God and how we allow God to be the focus of our life and not distracted by the problems the world has to offer. We find out also that you got to change your attitude. When you have your attention on God, your attitude's going to change. So we find out here that David says this in verse 32. He says, don't worry about this Philistine, David told Saul. I'll go fight him. Nobody else would take the challenge, but David had an attitude of courage. And his courage only came with the fact of his confidence in God. He had an attitude of confidence in his God. And he goes on to tell King Saul this. Because if you remember the story, King Saul says, well, let's put this armor on you. I'll give you my armor. I'll give you my sword, my shield. I'll give you everything that you need. And David said, no, I'll go fight him. I don't need anything else. I just need God. And this is what he said in verse 37. He said this, the Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear will rescue me from this Philistine. So David's talking about personal experience here. He's talking about how he's focused on God because God's been in his life for a while now. He's learned about God, and he's talking about these past experiences that have helped him grow closer to God. Because he had to fight a lion and he had to fight a bear. Let me tell you something. If I'm watching over some sheep, I feel sorry for them sheep if a lion or a bear comes. Because I just have a feeling that I would end up being the rug for the bear instead of the bear being the rug for me. I don't want no part of that. But the thing was, is that David wasn't concerned about the lion. He wasn't concerned about the bear because who did he have on his side? He had God on his side. God had been with him. David had learned the fact that no matter what he faced, this God who loved him, who was in a relationship with him, was always going to be there for him. So that gave him courage to take on this challenge to fight this giant, but it also gave him confidence. Listen, this is nothing. God's done this before. And if God did it before, what would that make you think? Anytime you put your focus on God, your attitude is the fact that anything that happens with God on my side, I'm going to come out good. I'm going to come out good when I have God on my side. Just a few scriptures that you guys may be familiar with here that talk about having the right attitude with God. Micah chapter 6 verse 8 says, "He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God." Spend time with God is what he's saying. Trust God. Trust in the things that he shows you and live that way with him. Very familiar verse, Philippians 4:13. You knew I wouldn't leave this out. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. That attitude of confidence, there's nothing that I can't do with God on my side. Amen? Nothing that you can't do with God on your side. Joshua 1:9 says, Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. That confidence again in God. Romans 8:31, What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Basically, I'm not trying to change the scriptures, but let's word it a little different way just for time's sake. If God is for me, it doesn't matter who's against me. That's basically what it's saying. It doesn't matter because God should take precedence over anything or anybody. He should always have our attention and always have our attitude. Now, I'm going to confess to you myself, I don't always give God my attention like I should. I don't always have the attitude to serve God and to walk with God like I should. But neither did David. We mess up. We're sinners, and God knows this. That's why God promised that he wasn't going to leave us. He knew there would be times where we would need him more than ever. Times where we didn't have that courage or that confidence. And yet he still loves us and he's still there for us to pick us up and to carry us and to help us to get on the right track when we stray. But having that attention on God, having that attitude that I'm going to fight this giant. He just don't know who he's messing with. And David wasn't all about himself. He's like, I got God. What you got? I got God. So he had the attitude to trust God no matter what he faced, no matter what he was going through. So after we know God, we put our attention on him, we focus on him with our attention, we have the right attitude as we learn from him in our relationship with him. It doesn't stop there. David said he would fight. David said God had done some great things. He had delivered him from the lion and the bear. But here's where faith was put to the test. He had the right attitude, but what made it full circle was he put actions to his words. We show God in our actions. Proverbs 3:6 says, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path." Colossians 3:17 says, "Whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." Colossians 3:23, "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men." Philippians chapter 2, verses 13 through 15 says this, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world." David, when he faced this giant, he had the right attention. It was on God. He had the right attitude. God's helped me before, and God will help me again. But when he went out, what made it even more so was he stepped out to face the giant. He walked out to the valley to face him. He grabbed some, verse 40 in 1 Samuel 17 says he grabbed some stones, five stones, put them in his bag. He had his staff and his sling. He was ready for what? He was not being Saul with the armor and the sword and the shield. He was being himself. And that's all we can do is be ourselves and be the self that with God in our life. He grabs the sling. He grabs the stones. He goes out into the valley to face the giant. And the giant taunts David. Says, "What am I that you send this young boy to fight me?" You know, he thought they'd send somebody greater, somebody that would be bigger. But even when they were picking David as the next king, they overlooked him and looked to his brothers. It's not always about the outward appearance. It's about the heart. David had the heart to follow God. He had the heart to serve God, and he put it into actions. And when he gets out onto the battlefield, this is what he says, verses 45 and through 47. After the giant had taunted David, he said, replied to the Philistine, "You come to me with sword, spear, and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. Today the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut off your head, and then I will give the dead bodies of your men to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. And everyone assembled here will know that the Lord rescues his people, but not with sword and spear. This is the Lord's battle, and he will give you to us." You come to me with sword and spear, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. When we face troubles, or we face somebody that's against us, it's so easy to get defensive, isn't it? It's so easy to want to, I mean, I'll be as honest as anybody else. Somebody wants to make fun of me, I'll punch them in the nose. I wouldn't really do it, but I like to. I tell the guys at work when they pick on me, I said, "You leave me alone or I'll punch you in the nose." They leave me alone anyway, but they know I hope they know that I wouldn't punch them in the nose. But my reaction to what I would do to somebody that's mean to me is not what God would have me to do. David could have easily said, "I'm going to beat the crap out of you because you talk bad to my brothers. How dare you?" But he didn't say that. He said, "I come to you in the name of the Lord." And I'm just being honest. I'm not saying this is easy because it wouldn't be easy for me either. Maybe that's why God laid this on my heart. I don't know. But our reaction to how we would want to deal with problems, and then if we keep our attention on God and how he wants us to deal with problems, they're two different things sometimes. If we faced everybody with the heart that we want to do what God wants in that, wonder how things would turn out. Instead of me wanting to hit somebody, if they're mean to me? What if God said to hug somebody and tell them that I come to you in the name of the Lord. You come to me wanting to fight me, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. Well, Goliath was too stubborn for that to work, so God just had to prove to him. God had to show everybody who was boss. Because David said, I'm not the one fighting you. You picked on somebody you didn't want to mess with. You're facing my God. And we all know the outcome. David did exactly what he said because God gave him the victory. We can have victory in our lives. And I'm not saying there's not a battle to face. I'm not saying that we don't have to step out on the battleground, because David had to step out on the battleground. But his attention was on God and what God would want. His attitude was a confidence in God that he would handle things and that he could work through him to do that, knowing that God was by his side. And his actions were to step out in faith, trusting God. We all can do that. It just takes time in a relationship with God, just like David had. How many of y'all have been through something and you knew God brought you through it? How many of you are going through something now and you wished you knew what to do? The Bible's there for a reason. It's to remind us as Christians that we could be the God in somebody's life. We could be the representative of God to someone, to bring them to Him so that they know that they're not alone. We can have an attitude that loves people, and that's what we do. We love people in this church. We reach out to people. Our actions show that we love God. And if they ever don't, then we'll close the doors, won't we, Brother Danny? We have to know God. And the only way we can know God is in a relationship with Him. And once we have that relationship with God, then we show God to someone that doesn't know Him. Goliath met God that day, but he wasn't ready for him. And God gives us a choice today. He doesn't force himself on us, but he does tell us there's coming a day where judgment's coming. And if you don't choose God, you've chosen someone else, and that doesn't get you into heaven. I'm not trying to be mean about it, but that's what the Bible says. But you have a chance today. You have a chance to know God and a chance to show God. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for tonight. I thank you for the ones that are here, God. And Lord, I just pray for everyone's safety tonight, Lord, and for the days ahead with the weather that's coming. Pray for the ones at home, God, that you be with them. And for all the ones, God, in our church that are needing help or having health issues, God, we pray for them that you just touch those needs. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for being there for us, God. In Jesus' name, amen.